rafters, and the cutters haven't the ingenuity to embed obsolescence into those same sequences. They steal code, but they don't hack it. But Ultronauts do things rather differently. The Mixmaster cradled his long and elegant fingers before his chin. Ultras sell their services with an inbuilt obsolescence, a mutational clock, if you will. I'll spare you the details. Suffice to say that within the viral and enzymic machinery which mediates the expression of the new genes inserted into your own DNA, there is a time-keeping mechanism, a clock which functions by counting the accumulation of randomness in a strand of foreign reference DNA. Needless to say, once these errors exceed a predefined limit, cellular machinery is unshackled, which suppresses or corrects the altered genes. Again, the Mixmaster smiled. Of course, I'm simplifying tremendously. For a start, the clocks are set to trigger gradually, so that production of the new proteins and the division of cells into new types doesn't cease suddenly. Otherwise, it could be fatal, especially if the changes allowed you to live in an otherwise hostile environment, like oxygenated water or an ammonia atmosphere. You're saying Tanner's eyes were touched by ultras? You catch on extraordinarily swiftly. But there's rather more to it than that. There generally is, I said. The Mixmaster danced his hands over the console, fingers plucking at invisible harp strings, causing reams of genetics data to spring into the air, particular sequences of T's and A's and G's and C's, highlighted and cross-linked to a series of physiological and functional maps of the human eye and the associated brain regions of visual comprehension. He looked like a wizard suddenly accompanied by ghostly and gory familiars. "Something very odd has happened here," the man said, his fingers ceasing their too dexterous dance. He sketched a particular block of base pairs, the cross-linking rungs of DNA. "These are the pairs which are allowed to grow progressively more random, the internal clock." His finger moved to another highlighted block, which looked superficially identical. "And this is the reference map, the unmutated DNA. It's by comparing these, by noting the number of mutational changes, that the clock is driven." "There don't seem to be very many changes," Zebra said. "A few statistically minor point deletions or frame shifts," the Mixmaster said, "but nothing significant." "Meaning what?" I asked. "Meaning that the clock has not had very long to run. The two sets of DNA have hardly begun to diverge." His eyes narrowed. "That means that the work was done very recently, definitely within the last year, and perhaps only a few months ago." "Why is that a problem?" Zebra asked. "Because of this." Now his finger moved across a densely tangled blob, rendered in lilac. "This is a transcription factor, a protein that regulates the expression of a particular set of genes. It is not, however, a normally occurring human protein. Its only function, and it has been engineered for this purpose, is to suppress the newly inserted genes in your eye. It should not be present in large quantities until the mutational clock has been triggered, yet I found it in abundance." "Could the ultras have deceived Tanner?" The Mixmaster shook his head. "Not likely. There'd be no economic gain in doing so. The genetics changes would still have been made, so it's not as if it would be cheaper for them to reset the clock. In fact, it would harm their long-term profits, because Tanner, if that's your name, would have sought the services of another crew." "I take it you have an alternative explanation." "I do, but you may not like it."